Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back. Today's Daf is Shkolim Tazayin. We're three lines from the top of the Amid. Mishenigna Zoran. We learned earlier that the Oren was hidden in anticipation of the Golus. Says the Gemara, at that point, when the Oren was hidden, several other items accompanied the Oren into hiding. When the Oren was hidden, Nignaz Imoitz and Tzenas Amon, together with the Oren went the container with the Mon. Hashem instructed Moshe to put away some Mon. It should serve as a zikaron, a remembrance, throughout the generations that Hashem is the ultimate provider. In fact, Yirmiyahu HaNavi later on took it out to show Yisrael that Hashem provides, and to encourage them to learn more Torah. Don't be so worried about livelihood. Hashem can provide. In fact, in the Midbar, for 40 years, Hashem provided man on a daily basis. So this container with a sample of the man within it was hidden together with the Arin. Utzleiches shemna mishcha, the container with the fragrant oil, umakle shel aroin uprachav ushkedav, the staff of aroin, the buds and the almonds. This was when Hashem instructed Yisrael to place sticks after the machlekes of Korach. Every shevet should place a makel to prove who is Hashem's chosen kohen, Hashem's chosen leader. And of course, the makel of aroin sprouted forth prachim and shkedim, and that makel was meant to remain with the aroin. So it went together in hiding. Va'argos sheyishivu plishtim, this was a chest, which the plishtim sent as a kapara, as a gift, osham, as a sort of korban of the lekei Yisrael. When they took the aroin and they suffered as a consequence, they sent back a gift. This box containing the treasure was meant to stay with the aroin, and when the aroin was hidden, along went the box. Mi Gonza, who hid the Aroin? Yeshio, he was the king at the end, towards the end of Bais Rishon. He was the one who hid the Aroin. Yeshio Gonzai, and where did he hide it? We discussed yesterday, some say it was beneath the firewood chamber. In fact, the Mefarshim point out that Shlomo HaMelech already anticipated this event, and he prepared tunnels and underground chambers to contain the Aroin in the future. So Yeshio HaMelech knew about those chambers, about those convoluted tunnels, and he took the Aroin and placed it beneath ground. Kiven Sheroh, since he saw the Pasuk Shekasev, Yoylech Hashem Oyscho Eves Malkecha Shetokem Alecha El Goya Shelo Yadata Atav Evesecha. Hashem is telling them, you, your king, you're going to be taken into Golos. So the Navi is prophesizing the Golos. Hashem will take you and your king all the way out to Golos. And Yeshio was concerned for the safety of the Aroin Omad Vegonzoi. He went ahead and hid it. Hado Dechsiv, that's why it says in the Pasuk, Vayoyimer, Yeshio turned to the Levim HaMevinim, the understanding Levim, L'chol Yisroel, L'Akdoishim, L'Hashem. He told them, Tnu es Aroin HaKodesh Beveis Hashem Bono Shleimoi. Place the Aroin in the bayis that Shlomo HaMelech built, which indicated that there is some hiding place there for the Aroin. Ashabana Shlomo ben David Melech Yisrael, Ein lechem masa b'kotev. You're no longer going to be able to carry the Aroin on your shoulder. Amalam, he told him like this. Im goylehu imachem. If the Aroin will go with you to Golos, lebavel, Ein atem machzirin oisoi. Oidlik unkoima, you'll no longer be able to bring it back to its place. Perhaps he meant that the Goyish king will take a hold of it. In any case, the Kedusha of the Aron will be desecrated. Don't allow for that. Ela, ato, right now, ivdu es Hashem lekechem es Ama Yisrael, do the right thing. And let's hide the Aron. Once we discuss the Shemen HaMishcha, the Gemara is going to describe the process involved in making the Shemen HaMishcha. Pitum Shemen HaMishcha. The Pasuk says, v'ato kach lecha v'goymer, v'kidu chamesh meyos shein elef, v'chamesh meyos manem. We have a list of ingredients, each one its weight equivalent, and a total of 1,500 manim. So a manim is a weight equivalent, and that was the amount of ingredients used for the Shemen HaMishcha. How much oil was there? Shemen Zayis, hin. What is it, hin? 12 luk, shneim asar luk. So how do they process the oil? Shaboy Shulkin as a current divrei Meir holds, they would cook the various ingredients, huge amount of ingredients, in 12 lug of oil. And that oil now became Shemen HaMishcha. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no, impossible. You're talking about a huge amount of ingredients, a truckload full of ingredients, just 12 lug of oil is not sufficient for that. Rather, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shulkan Hoya B'mayim, he would first soak the ingredients in water so that it's fully saturated with water. And then, B'nai Shem Shemen Al Gabein, he'd place the oil on top. Once the oil absorbed the scent, he would skim off the oil, as the professional perfume makers do. That's why it says in the Pasuk, Shemen Mishrash Kodesh. And the Pasuk says, Maaser Kayach, the way the professionals do it. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, it was impossible to cook the keteres in this oil because it was such a small amount of oil which would be absorbed and disappear within the ingredients. Tani, Rabbi Yehuda bei Rabbi Eloi, he said like this. That's not a problem, because the entire procedure of making that Shemen HaMishcha and the entire concept was a miraculous phenomenon. Therefore, there's no wonder that you can follow Rabbi Meir's procedure and still have some oil. Shemen HaMishcha she'asa Moshe b'midbar ma'asa nisim na'asa b'ay. It was a miraculous phenomenon. Mitchila v'atzoif, from beginning to end, was all a ma'asa nis. And he explains, initially, you began with how much oil? 12 lug. That's not much. If there wasn't enough within the 12 lug, even to just smear the ikaron, meaning the psamim, certainly, if you're going to cook it in this oil, it's going to disappear. The heat, the fire absorbs, meaning it evaporates some oil. Va'etzim boilim, the ingredients absorb. Va'yore balas, likewise the pot absorbs. So how much left? How much do you have left? Very little. And you had a lot to do with that oil. U'imenu nipshechu ha-mishkan, from that little bit, you needed to anoint the mishkan, v'chol kelev and all its accessories. Ha-shulchan v'chol kelev, ha-manoir v'chol kelev. U'imenu nipshechu aron kohen gadol. Right, it went on Aaron Kohen Gadol. V'bonav kol shivas mi'am miluim. Throughout the 7 days of miluim, they were all anointed using the same oil. Not only that, it was meant to last throughout the generations. U'menu nimshachu kohen gadolim. It was meant for the kohen gadolim throughout the doiros. U'melachim, as well as the kings. Now this is virtually impossible, but following the laws of nature. Apparently, says the Gemara, it was a masa nisim. Therefore, there's no wonder that you can follow Rabbi Meir's process, take the 12 lug of oil, within it cook all these ingredients and still have plenty remaining. Once we discussed the purpose of the Shemen HaMishcha, which was to anoint the Kelim, the Kehanim, and the Melachim, the Gemara will go into greater detail of how it was done. Melech betchilat ha-Mashiach. Initially, the first Melech, the first one in the family, he needed to be anointed. But Melech ben Melech ain't ha-Mashiach. But his son, he no longer needs Mashiach. My time, why? Because it carries over. Hashem tells Shmuel, "Kun Mashiachu, go ahead and be Moshiach David HaMelech, ki zehu." The point of zeh is for a drush. Zeh ton Mashiach. This one, David HaMelech, who is the first in his family, he needs Mashiach. Ve'ein b'noi ton Mashiach, but not his son, because it carries over. Aval kain gadol be'kain gadol. But when it comes to a Kohen Gadol, even though he's a son of a Kohen Gadol, it's not an automatic thing. Afilu ad asor ha-doros, even if he's a 10th generation Kohen Gadol, Ton Mashiach, he needs to be anointed anew. Kohen Gadol is a new appointment, a new anointment. It's not automatic, as opposed to a Malchus, which just passes through the doros. Concludes the Gemara, V'kuloi kaim losad lovai, the entire supply of Shemen HaMishcha, all 12 lug, remains and will be revealed asad lavai hadahu dechsev, as the pasuk says, shemen mishchas kodesh yezali l'darisecha, which indicates that the entire supply of shemen mishcha, despite the fact that it was used for so many things, it didn't lose any of its of the Shemen, nothing was lost, everything remains intact, all 12 Lugin will be around La'asid Lavi. Perhaps the word Zeh here is 12 Lug, that's a remez that everything will be intact, La'asid Lavi. Ein Moshchen HaMalachim El Al Gavah Mayim. When they would anoint the kings, it was done only near a stream running water, which is a remez for bracha that their malchus will have endurance and permanence. Shenemar v'rekavtem es Shlomo b'ni al aprida asherli. Take my son Shlomo on this mule v'radtem oisel gichon. Take him to the gichon stream u'mashach oisel shom tzadik hakoy v'nasan navi lemelech al Yisrael. So he was taken down to Gichon, the stream, which was a good omen for his malchus. Ein moishchin melech ben melech. Generally, we don't do mashicha for a melech who is the son of a melech, as we just mentioned, but there is an exception. Elo mipnei machlekes, except when there's a machlekes. When the malchus is in dispute. So in order to establish the malchus, you have to go ahead and reappoint him, reanoint him. A new mashicha is required. As the Gemara explains, we have some examples of this. Bnei ma nimshach shleima. Why was Shlomo Nimshach? He was a son of David. B'pnei, machlekus shel Adoniyo, because he was disputed by Adoniyo. Therefore, they had to be Moshechem. Yoyash was anointed. B'pnei Ataliyo, who challenged him. Yoyachas was anointed. B'pnei Yoyakim Achiv, because he had an older brother competed with him. Shigadu Menu Beishonim, who was 2 years older than him. And finally, Yehu was also Nimshach. B'pnei Yoram, because of Yoram, who disputed his position. Says the Gemara, how could Yehu use the Shemana Mishcha? Yehu was a Melech Yisrael, not from Shevet Yehuda, and only a king appointed from Yehuda, a Melech Yehuda, was entitled to Shemana Mishcha. Loi King Siv, doesn't the Pasuk say, Ku Mishachayu ki Zehu, Bi Moishach David HaMelech, Zehu, Zeh Tol Mashicha, only from the Malchi David, was Mashiach required? Ve'ei Malchi Yisrael to the Mashiach, but the Malchi Yisrael did not require Mashiach. Now, if you don't need Mashiach, you can't have Mashiach because it's Kodesh. It's abusing and misusing the Shemana Mishch. So how could Yehu have had the Mashiach of the Shemana Mishch? Says the Gemara. We'll answer this question with another question. Elo Yayachas b'pnei Yayak. We just said the Yayachas was Nimshach because he had competition. Coming from his older brother, b'pnei Yoyakim achi v'shaya gadol mimeno sheisham. Okay, question is, historically, it doesn't really hold true, because their father was who? None other than Yeshayo. V'lo Yeshayo ganzai? Didn't we learn earlier that Yeshayo HaMelech hid the Aron together with the tzleiches of Shemana Mishcha? It was no longer around when his son was appointed king. You must say a teretz as follows. Hadda Amra, this tells us, Vafarasam in Nimshach. He was anointed using some other fragrant oil, Shemen HaFarasam. It wasn't really the Shemen HaMishcha. So that answers the question regarding Yoyachas. And the same answer could be applied regarding Yehu. Although he was from Malchi Yisrael, who was not entitled to Shemen HaMishcha, it wasn't Shemen HaMishcha that was used. Something which resembled Shemen HaMishcha, Shemen HaFarasam. You meant to anoint a melech using a keren, a horn. So once again, it has that long, drawn-out shape to indicate endurance and permanence. Perhaps also the fact that it has a narrow top and a wide bottom, that indicates that sometimes things are narrow at the onset. You're very narrow, very small time in the beginning. You don't necessarily see success. But eventually it gets broad, you achieve success. Says the Gemara, Shol v'yeyu, these are two malachim, nimshach ben apach. They were anointed instead of from a shofar, from a keren, a horn, they used simply a container. And therefore, hoiso malchuson, malchus everus. Their malchus was just a temporary phenomenon. It didn't carry over to their children. However, David or Shlomo, who were nimshachu min akeren, a horn was used, hoysa malchusa machos kayemes, was something enduring, and was passed on to their children. I saw that keren is also a marshal of strength, bull's horns, karn re'eim, a karn indicates strength and endurance. A moishchin kohanim malach, says the Gemara, a kohen has his own role to fill. He doesn't have to be a kohen, serve Hashem. The kohanim watam with chachamim, serve as rabbanim, as poiskim. You're not meant to anoint a kohen and place him as a king. Now the chiddush is, even a kohen, you would think perhaps a kohen is somebody who is already entitled to Shemana Mishkan, the kohen gadol was anointed. Perhaps he's already entitled to that. He already occupies a position of leadership. Make him into a king. No. A kohen is a kohen. A king is a king. And certainly, a Yisrael is not meant to be appointed as a melech. The malchus was meant to be only from Shevet Yehuda. A moishchin kohanim malach. Omar Rabbi Yehuda an Tundarya, that was his name, al shem, because of the pasuk, la yosu shevet me Yehuda. The staff, the rulership, is meant to be specific to Shevet Yehuda. Omer Abchir Ba'abo, another pasuk, leman yarech yomim al-mamachtoi. The pasuk describing the king who will endure his malchus rule, be a lengthy one, hu banav bekerv Yisrael. And what does it say right after? Ma'akse basrei lo yeh lekanam alavim. We learn at Rasha that malchus belongs to others, not to Kohanim Leviim. They're meant to be busy with other things. Interesting that the Ramban Chumash explains the difference between these two drashas. He says, the first pasuk, Lo Yasa Shevet Yehuda, is because of Yehuda. They're meant to take away their malchus. It belongs to Shevet Yehuda. The second pasuk is telling you that a kohen and a levi belongs elsewhere. He has a different mission to fill, a different role to play. Now, it's interesting that Ramban has a whole discussion based on this Gemara. He uses it to explain what happened to the Hashminoim who stepped forward during Hanukkah time and they prevailed over the Yevanim. And they basically were the rulers of Klal Yisrael at that point, even though they weren't really from Shevet Yehuda. So he says, although they were Kohanim and not from Shevet Yehuda, but temporarily speaking, there was nobody else there. Plus the mission says, "V'makim she'ein ish," there's nobody else around. "Hishtadal yis ish," step forward to the plate, fill what's needed, do what's needed for the sake of the benefit of Klal Yisrael. Of course, temporarily speaking, it was fine. The problem was that they took over the leadership of Klal Yisrael long term. They became the Malachim. And he says that was a chet gadol, that was a terrible thing because it wasn't meant for them. We learn in the Gemara, Lo Yos Losa Shevet Ben Yehuda. This was a tzavo of Yaakov Avinu. He calls it overall tzavos hazokin. They were even the tzavo of Yaakov Avinu, who specifically granted Malchus to Yehuda. So to establish it for long term, in a different arrangement, that was a chet, that was an aver, and he says that's why they were punished, and the entire family eventually was killed out. Nobody remained. In fact, the Gemara says that should anybody announce later on that I come from a family of Hashminoi, it proves that he's an eved because there was nobody left. So he says the einish befell them because they interfered with the system. They took malchus, which was not meant for them. So that's the point of the Gemara, Ein Moishchin HaMalach, which means temporarily, there's nobody else around. Well, somebody could step in temporarily to lead the nation, but Mashiach, anointing, indicates permanence. That you're not meant to do to anybody except for Shevet Yehuda. Continues the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. We discussed the fact that Yoyachas was Nimshach because he had an older brother, Yoyakim. Now, these were the sons of Yishayo HaMelech. Yishayo had four sons. And the pasuk actually goes like this. U'bnei Yishayo ha-bechor Yochanan, so he was number one. Hasheni Yoyakim, he was number two. Hashlishi, the third son, was Sidkiyo. Harvi Yishalem. So the pasuk lists the four sons of Yishayo, starting with Yochanan, to Yoyakim, to Tzidkiyo, to Shalem. Says the Gemara, Amr Yochanan, who Yochanan, who Yoyachas? Pasuk doesn't mention Yoyachas. It's actually the same person. Yochanan mentioned the first. It's Yoyachas. Says the Gemara, but it's inconsistent with what we just said, that Yoyachas was not the oldest. The fact that he needed Mashiach because he had an older brother competing with him. V'oksiv habchor Yochanan. The pasuk says the oldest was Yochanan. If Yochanan and Yoyachas weren't the same person, well, we just said that Yoyachas was not the oldest. B'chor l'malchus. The pasuk means he was the first as far as Malchus. He was the first king in the family. Of all the sons, he was the first to be the king. But of course, he was the second son and the older brother, Yoyakim, since he interfered, they needed to do the Meshicha, the Shana Mishchanim. Or Rabbi Yochanan, we have number 3 and 4 in that pasuk as listed as Tzidkiyo and Shalem. Or Rabbi Yochanan, they're both one and the same person. Who's Shalem? Who's Tzidkiyo? V'oksiv, but doesn't the pasuk say Hagimot Tzidkiyo? V'Rabbi Yisholem. Third was Tzidkiyo and the fourth Shalem. Says the Gemara was really one and the same person. Gimel Toladis. He was a third with respect to birth. He was a third son. Dalid the Malchus. Tzidkiyo was a fourth Melech in the families. First one was Yoyachid, as we mentioned. Then it went over to Yoyakim. And then to Yoyakim's son, Yechaniah, who was taken to Golis. And then it went over to his uncle, Tzidkiyo, who was the fourth in the family. Says Gemara, why is he called Tzidkiyo? Shetzidik olav midas hadin. He accepted with equanimity the midas hadin when Nebuchadnezzar punished him and blinded him. Shalom, why was he called Shalom? Shebiyamav Shalom Malchus Beis David, because in his days the Malchus Beis David completed. He was the last one in the line. Says the Gemara, actually, loy Shalom Havishmei. His true name was not Shalom, but loy Tzidkiyo Havishmei. Nor was it Tzidkiyo. What then? El Matanya. That was his real name. Hadod Echsiv, as the pasuk says, Vayamlech Melech Bovelas Matanya Doide Tachtov Vayasev Eshmoy Tzidkiyo. So he was appointed king, and they gave him a name Tzidkiyo, but his real name was Matanya. So in conclusion, we learned about the Shemana Mushcha, Rav Meir's approach, Rav Yudah's procedure. We learned about the Nisim that were found in the Shemana Mushcha. We learned that a Melech Ben Melech is not necessarily anointed, except if there's a machlekes, which requires reestablishing his reign. A Kohen Gadol always needs to be anointed anew, even though he's a son of a Kohen Gadol. And we discussed the three sons of Yeshio. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Let's go back to describe the Oren. What were the dimensions of the Oren? The pasuk says it was 2.5 amos long, but 1.5 amos wide. Now we know there are three different types of Amo dimensions discussed in Torah. There's an Amo which contains 5 tefachim, 5 fists, an Amo which contains 6 fists, and an Amo which contains a bit more than 6. And they were used in different contexts in the Torah. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, how was the Orein built? Which dimension was used? Which Amo? Ba'amo shel shisha tefachim hoya Orein asur. It was made using an Amo containing 6 tefachim. Man Tana Ba'ama Shishat Fachim. Who is this Shita, this Tana, who will hold that an Amma containing 6 fist widths was used for the Aron? Rameir, Isanya, Rameir Omer, Kol Amos Hoibubenis. All Amos used in Beis Hamikdash were the medium Amos, the ones that contained 6 Tvach. Rabbi Omer, Amos Habinyan Shisha. The ones used for building were 6. Shalkei Mechamisha, the ones used for Kalim, were smaller sized Amos. So Rabbi Yochanan says the Aron was built using a 6 tefach amma, is following Rameh Shita that the 6 tefach amma was used throughout. Says the Gemara, Aldat he did Rameyer, according to Rameyer, do Amar who says ba'amma shal zvav tefach hoya Aron asui, yet the Aron was built using an amma containing 6 tefachim each. So let's figure out the dimensions of the Aron. Or kol shel Aron tesvav tefach. How long was the Aron? 2.5 amas, each amma 6 tefachim, for a total of 15 tefachim. Tachsiv amasayim v'chetzi arkay. Its length was 2.5 amas. Amma ashisa, amsa ashisa. Each amma, one amma had 6 tefachim, v'amsa ashisa, and the other amma had 6 tefachim. Upalgus amsa, tilsa, and the other half of amma gives you another 3 tefachim. That's how you get to 15 tefachim. 2.5 times 6. What was put into the Aron? Well, four luchais. How do we get four luchais? Shnayim shleimim, shnayim shvurim. Two intact. Those are the second luchais. Ushnayim shvurim, and the broken ones. The luchais rishayna, yisachsev, asher shibarta, v'samtam ba'aron. Everything goes into the Aron. The intact ones and the broken ones. So we're following Shitas Rabbanon that we had yesterday, that there was only one Aron, which contains both sets of luchais. Haluchais hayu kol echad ve'echad, orkoi vavs tfachim, v'rachvoi, shisha or shloisha, meaning the luchais were six tfachim tall and three tfachim wide. Each one was three tfachim wide. They're actually square, in contrast to the designs found many places that the luchais are designed as round on top. It was actually introduced by Michelangelo, who designed them in that way. But according to the Gemara, it appears they were square. Six tefach long, and each one's three wide. So if you pair them together, you have a square of 6x6. Now we have two sets of luchais. Each set being 6x6 tefach. You place them alongside each other, you have a total of 12 tefachim by 6. V'tein arkan shaluchais, meaning place the double set of two luchais side by side. V'tein arkan shaluchais lo'arkan shalaron, the length of this set along the lengthwise along the aron, which was a total of 15 tefachim. Nishtay sham shlosha tefachim. You have three tefachim left. Right, the two sets of luchais equal to 12 in total, and the aron was 15, giving you an extra three. What was that used for? Tein mem chatzi tefach l'chol kaisel. I have a tefach accounted for the thickness of each wall, meaning on each side, you need a half a tefach for the thickness. Nishtay shtei tefachim. You have two tefachim remaining. What was that for? The sefer Torah. In there, they place the sefer Torah together with the luchais. So that accounted for the length of the aron. What about the width? Rachbei shel aron was how much? Tisha tefachim. Nine. Dechsev amah v'chetzi rachbei. Am and a half. We're dealing with an amah that has six tefachim. Amsa ashisa. One amah, six tefachim. Upalgas amsa, a half amah, hatlasa. Giving you a total of nine tefachim. How were they filled? V'arba luchais hayubay. There were two pairs of luchais, right? Total of four. Shnayim shleim, shnayim shvurim. Two intact and two broken. Dechsev asher shibarta v'samtam ba'ar. Haluchais hayikul echad ve'echad. How large were the luchais? Each one was arkan shisha tefachim, six tefachim long. V'rachman shisha tefachim, meaning the two luchais together was six tefachim wide, 6x6. And you have two sets of 6x6 for a total of 12x6. 10 rachman shel luchais l'rachman shel aron. Place the width of the luchais along the width of the aron. The width is six tefachim and the aron is nine. Nishtay sham shlosha tefachim, leaving you three tefachim. Chatzit tefach mekan l'koysel zeh. Half a tefach to account for the thickness of the wall on this side. V'chatzit tefach mekan l'koysel zeh. And a half a tefach on the other side to account for the thickness of the wall. Leaving you with two tefach u'tefachayim. L'shilut, to control, to have access. Makem shesef Torah munach, to make a little extra room to access the sefer Torah. This way you can wiggle it out. So giving you that extra space allows you easy access to the sefer Torah. So that's Rabbi Yochanan's approach, following Rabbi Meir, who says we're dealing with amos consisting of six tefachim each. Rabbi Shimon Malka Shamar, no, ba'ama bas chamisha tefachim haya aron asu. The aron was built using an ama containing five tefachim. Who's that shita? Mantana, ba'ama bas chamisha tefachim. Rabbi Da holds that it was five tefachim. This hanina taman, Rabbi Da Aimer, ama sabinyan shisha. The ama used when you built the Beis Hamikdash involved six tefachim each. The amma applied to the kelim was a five tefach amma. Vahein aron kliu, and certainly the aron is a kli. Al dait Rabbi Yehuda. So according to his shita, do amar. He said like this: ba'amma shel chamisha tefachim, that the aron used an amma of six tefachim. How large was the aron? The aron was 2.5 amma long by 1.5 wide. Hayar kai shel aron asu shnei masa tefach mechza. The length of the aron was 12.5 tefach. 2.5 amas. 2.5 times 5. Amsa chamsha one amma contained a 5 tvachim, but amsa hey, the second amma contained another 5 tvachim, upalgus amsa, and the remaining half was treya plig, 2.5 tvachim, giving you a total of how much? Of 12.5 tvachim in length. How was that filled? Vidal luchis hayibay, there were 2 luchis, 4 luchis, shnayim shleimim, 2 were intact, shnayim shfurim, 2 broken, tachsiv, asher shibarta, samtam barim. How large are the luchis? For luchis hayik echad be'echad, orkan shisha tvachim. Rachman Shisha Tvachim. Tein Orkan Shaluchas, Lokan Shalorim. So you have 2 sets of 6x6, giving you a total of 12 in length, they laid side by side, head to head. So you have 12. And the Orin was merely 12.5. According to Rita. Finish Dair Sham Chatzit Tevach. You have a half a tevach remaining. Etzba Lakoisel Mekan. One finger width accounted for the thickness of the wall on this side. Ve'etzba Lakoisel Mekan. And an etzba for the thickness on the other side. Apparently, according to Yehuda, the thickness was less than Rameir. It was only an etzba. So that accounted for the entire length of the aron. What about the width? It was 7.5 wide. Why? Dechsev, amma v'chitzu rachbe. It was an amma and a half wide. Amso chamsha. Amma is 5. Tvach. Palgos amso, the other half of amma, was trey. Upalik, 2.5 tvach. Giving you a total of 7.5. But the other was hayibay. There were 4 luchas. Shneim shleimim, shneim shfurim. 2 intact, 2 broken. Chesiv ha shishibat, if something boring. Haluchas hayak lechad ve'echad, orkan shisha tfachim. Let's account for the luchas. Each one was 6 tfachim long. V'rochman shisha, and their width was 6 tfachim. So again, you have one pair of luchas, 6x6. Another pair, 6x6. Lie them head to head. Ten rochman l'ruachbay shalorim. Place their width along the width of the aron. The width was 6. The width of the aron was 7.5. Leaving you with a tef and a half remaining. Etzba l'koisel mekan. Etzba l'koisel mekan. Now remember that a tefach consists of 4 etzbois. 4 thumbs. Thumb widths. So if you have a tef and a half remaining in the width of the aron, let's distribute it as follows. Etzba l'koisel mekan. Etzba l'koisel mekan. One etzba to account for the thickness of the wall on either side. So 2 etzbois is half a tefach. So that addressed the half a tefach. And we still have a tefach remaining. Chatzi tefach mikan, v'chatzi tefach mikan. We take that tefach, we distribute it as follows. Half a tefach gap remaining on one side of the luchas, between the luchas and the wall of the aron, and on the other half a tefach of empty space on the other side between the luchais and the wall of the aron. Why? L'shilut, to give access, so you can access the luchais and take them in or out when necessary. Continues the Gemara, Ketad Otsa Betzalas Aron. We know that the aron was coated, completely plated in gold. How did Betzal do it? We have 2 shittas. Rabbi Chanina Amar, Sholish Tevois Otsa. He fashioned 3 separate boxes. Shtaim shall zav, 2 made out of gold, v'acha shall eitz, 1 made out of wood. Nosan shall zav v'shal eitz. He placed the gold one into the wooden one. So now the interior of the wood was plated. V'shal eitz v'shal zav. And he placed that configuration into the outer box, which was gold. So now we had outer one gold, the one inside that was wood, and then that was covered by another box of gold. Fitzy Po, he still had a bit exposed, a bit of wood which was not plated, which was the top rim of the middle box, which was wood. Fitzy Po, so he went ahead and plated that as well. Tachsib, Fitzy Pisa Oysa Zov Tor, Baisa Mechutz. He meant to plate the Orin with gold on its interior, on its exterior. Ma Tamalem Titsa Penu, why does the Pasuk repeat Titsa Penu? Plated, lahavis fasal yoina, coming to include the upper rim, which was exposed wood, that had to be replated. That's Rabbi Chanina's approach. Hashem malagah shamar, no, teva achas asoi, he fashioned it as one box, vitzi po, and he simply coated it with gold. Dechsib vitzi pisa oisoi, zav tar, bais mechutz. He plated the wood with gold, just one box, properly plated. Ma tamalem titzapena. Why did they repeat the word tetzapenu? Once the wood was completely plated, inside and out, and on top and on bottom, then everything is covered. Why do they have to plate it again? This is meant to include an additional aspect of coding between the slats. So the box was made of slats put together. So in between those slats, there was some coding as well. Each 2x4 needed to be coded all around. Or perhaps it simply means that the slats lying next to each other had some ridge, some crack, and he had to fill that with gold as well. So everything would be covered with gold. So we have two shittos regarding the procedure employed in plating the aron. Three boxes or one? Ketzad hayu haluchos ksuvim. Let's proceed with the luchos. How are they written? We know there were two luchos. We know there were aseres hadibros. But how many dibros were written on each luach? We have several shittos. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel Omer, chamisha luach zeh v'chamisha luach zeh. Five on this one, five on that one. The five first dibros, which represented the mitzvahs of Bein Adam L'Malkayim, right? Anochi Hashem, L'Yelcha. That had its own designation. That was placed in the first luach. The second luach had the last five dibros, which are Bein Adam L'Chaveiro related mitzvahs. The Ramban asks, if so, why was Kabbalah Savicha included amongst the first five dibros, which describe mitzvahs pertaining to Bein Adam L'Malkayim? Says Ramban, you meant to know that Kabbalah Savicha is Bein Adam L'Malkayim. One respects his parents. It's respecting a parent who represents his source of life, which is ultimately Hashem. So Kibbalah V'Aim represents Hashem as well. That's why it belonged amongst the first dibros, the five dibros Rishonim. So according to the Shita, it was five on each luach. As the pasuk says, he wrote the luchos, the dibros, on the luchos, chamisha luach zeh v'chamisha luach zeh. So he distributed them equally, five on each one. Rabban Amri, they say no, all ten dibros were written on both luchos. Asora luach zeh, ten on one tablet, v'asora luach zeh, and ten on the other one. As the pasuk says, v'yagad chemes prisay, asher tzivas chamasus, asher sadvarim. And there's another pasuk later, which says that there was another writing. Again, the pasuk refers to Aseres HaDvarim, and the drasha is Asora Aluach Zeh, Vasora Aluach Zeh, 10 on each luach. So basically, they were repeated once on this one, once on that one. Rabbi Shimon Echai Omer, he goes even further. Esrim Aluach Zeh, Ve'esrim Aluach Zeh, there were 20 on each luach. Because it was written once on the front, another time, all 10 dibros written on the back. So each luach had 2 times 10, 20 on each luach. Techsiv v'yichtevim al shnei luchos avonim. He wrote them al shnei luchos avonim, which indicates that they were written double. V'yichtevim, he wrote them, this is a double lashon, that they were written double on each one of those luchos. Eshem al luchse, v'eshem al luchse. Rabbi Simoya Omar, arboim. They were written 40. 40 dibros were written aluachse on this luach, varboim aluachse on the other one as well. Dechsev, mizeh umizeh hem ksuv. They were written on all four sides. Tatruga, like a square beam. The luchos were square. On all four sides, we had the 10 dibros written. So each one of the luchos had all 10 dibros written on all four sides. So it's 40 on each luach. Chananya ben Achi Yerabishua Eimer. Chananya, who was the nephew, Yerabishua said, Bein kol dibur v'dibur, between each one of the Aseres HaDibros were written the Torah. Diktuk Kel, all the details, v'yaseh, all the letters, shal Torah, all the letters, the words, the drashas of Torah, everything was there. Echsiv, mimuloim batashish, they were filled like a sea, kiyama rabba, like a great sea filled with, full of creatures. So everything was contained on the luchos. Rashi and Chumash actually brings this b'shem Rav Sadia Gaon that the Aseres HaDibros represent the entire Torah. So according to this Gemara, it was all actually written there. Rav Shimon Lakish, kadava moti, hadein kroya. When he came to this pasuk, hava amar, he would say yofa limdani Chananya b'anachi Yerushua. Chananya, my nephew, taught me well. Ma hayom hazeh, the pasuk describes the luchos and compares it to an ocean. Very well said. Ma'ayam azeh, just as this ocean, mean gal godol, between each large wave, what do we have? Many ripples. Galam ktanim, kach, ben kol dibur v'dibur, likewise, between each dibur and the Torah, There are lots of details that took care which is Seah Shaltim. Omar Rabbi Tanchum, is Kashias Kumi, I asked in front of Rabbi Pinchas. Rabbi Kasha. We had a discussion earlier regarding the dimensions of the Aron. Rabbi maintains the Aron was actually smaller because we used Amma, which had 5 Tefachim. According to him, there was no room in the Aron for the Sefer Torah. According to Rameir, there was plenty of space in there in which they placed the Sefer Torah. So Tanchuma asked Akash, we have a pasuk which seems to support Rabbi Yehuda, that the Sefer Torah was outside the Aron. Ask Rabbi Yehuda. The pasuk follows Rabbi Yehuda, ask Rameir, not like Rameir. My time. Rabbi Yehuda, my time with Rabbi Yehuda. What's Rabbi Yehuda's reason? We have a pasuk, Siv, lo koyach, es Sefer HaTorah zeh. Take the Sefer Torah, v'zad dem oisei, where should you place it? Mitzad. Avron b'is Hashem, on the side. Al die to Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, do Amar, it tells us, hey, chanoi Sefer Torah nasen. So Rabbi Yehuda held, do Amar means he held, hey, chanoi Sefer Torah nasen. Where was it placed? If it wasn't inside, where did they place the Sefer Torah? Kimin gluskia asaloi machutz. It was a chest sitting there for the Sefer Torah, via Sefer Torah, Nasim Besoich, and Sefer Torah was placed there. So this pasuk, which tells us that Sefer Torah was placed mitzad, Aron Bris Hashem, is a right to Rabbi Yehuda. There was no room inside, it was placed outside. My time with the Rameir, what is Rameir's source that the Sefer Torah was placed inside the Aron? Tichsev, v'nosat, asakapurs, ala oroin, melamala. You meant to place the lid on the Aron, and you meant to put the Eidus, the Torah, into the Aron. This shows that they say the Torah was in the Aron. Says the Gemara, al da'at to the Rameya. Now, according to Rameya, do Amar. He will say, Ein muktam mukha b'Torah. Rameya holds that the sequence here apparently is out of order. This is a general formula. We know that Torah Shebichsav isn't necessarily going to follow an exact sequence. There are deeper meanings to the sequence of the psukim. And here as well, you have to rearrange the pasuk. Because the pasuk begins, you place the kapurus on the urn, and then Sefer Torah is placed in the urn. Well, it's already covered. It's too late. Apparently, Elo, Velo Orein Titan Se'edus, Asher Etin Alecha. The pasuk means, first you put the Eidus into the urn, and then, Vachakach, Vrasatas Akapurus Al Arm Alamal, and afterwards cover the lid. Rabbi Pinchas said in the name of B'Shem Shem Elokish, HaTorah Shenosan Li, HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Moshe, Nitna Loi was given to him, Eish Levana, Charusa, it was a white fire, like the white parchment, engraved, Charusa Be'Eish Shchir, engraved with black fire. Torah is a spiritual entity, even before B'Ris Olam there was Torah, and Rashi brings elsewhere, apparently alluding to this Medrash, to this Gemara, that it wasn't, didn't take on a physical form. It consisted of a multicolored fire, white fire, engraved with black fire. And that's why we have the Sefer Torah, white parchment. In fact, some of Farshim say, Guinness Roden brings that, has to be white, because it has to represent this white fire. And it's written with letters, which are black, and dafka black. Black on white. He eish, the Torah is fire, muvulelos beish, mixed with eish. And the Takran Chalitin explains, Muvlelos Meish means the Rischa Dairaisa, the tumult involved learning Torah, the fire, the discussion, debating of Torah. Chatsuva Meish, it was hewn out of fire, it was cut out of fire, says the Takran Chalitin, Mulubeshas Bisharoshe Nishmas Yisroel, Shein Levushin Lamachtavat Torah, Shana Shamach Elakim Yamal. So it's based on the Kabbalah, the Torah is rooted in the neshamas of Yisrael, which are rooted in Hashem. So the Torah is chatsuva meish, it's a yun out of fire, unusuna meish, and was given from fire. We know that the Matan Torah took place surrounded with fire. It was given from fire, dechsiv, meiminoi. Torah was given from the through the right hand of Hashem. We received it meiminoi, which the Takron explains is referring to midas hachesed. Actually, he says that's the white fire. White is place it, it's calm. Midas HaChesed. And the black fire is the din, is the gvura, is the exactness, the diktuk, the halach of Torah. So two aspects of Torah. In any case, the pasuk describes the Torah being given miminoi, eish das lomay. So you see the Torah was given meish. He brings in the name of Vilna Goyen that das lomay, are oisies Talmud. The Aslamai is Talmud. Mimina ish the Aslamai. Okay, time for a quick chazara. We learned that Yeshio HaMelech hid the Aron together with all the all some compliments. It's in Tzenes Haman, Slech HaShem and HaMishcha, Makle Shel Aron, and the Argoys sent by the Plishtim. Why did he hide the Aron? Because he anticipated the Golos. He wanted to protect the Kedusha of the Aron. We learned regarding the procedure involved in producing Shem and HaMishcha, the Ramea's approach, the Buddha's approach. We learned that the Shem and HaMishcha had a miraculous shelf life. It just lasted and lasted and remained intact. Will be here, lasted love as well. A king was anointed, but not necessarily his son, unless there was some sort of dispute, in which case he had to be reestablished. A king good always need to be anointed. We learned that other than Shevet Yehuda, there's meant to be no other kings. We learned about the dimensions of the Aron, whether we use an Amma of 6 Tfachim, an Amma of 5 Tfachim. In any case, both sets of Luchos, the broken and non-broken, were in the Aron. We learned regarding the Sefer Torah, according to Rav Meir, it was inside the Aron, according to Rav Yehuda, right beside it. Had a Bezalel plate, gold plate, the Aron. One sheet to learns, there were 3 boxes, gold, wood, and gold. According to the other sheet, it was 1 box of wood, and completely covered with gold. And we learned about the Shtei Luchos and the various Shittas regarding how many Dibros were written on each Luach, and that the entire Torah was contained on those Luchos as well. Take care and Atzlacha Rabba.